are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here it is.
Theology is reality.
Bam. The newest episode of God Geeks closing out the summer of 2016.
Yeah, a special end of summer episode.
Yeah, so man, we're doing something crazy different now.
Crazy different.
I promise we're going to return to a normal format starting next week.
Yeah.
We're going to keep pumping them out on every Friday. Realize it's been, a couple weeks?
It has.
Been a couple weeks since we've had it. And so what we thought we'd do is we sat down and I think banged out a really good special episode on the third use of the law. Now, before your eyes roll back in your head and you go, I have no idea what they're talking about, or I've heard this all before, listen to this episode, because there's some actually really good theology, I think, that you're going to hear in this special episode. And then we're going to have a whole nother separate This Week in Geek episode. So this is going to be a great week, because there's going to be two podcasts out.
Yeah.
You're going to get two podcasts.
Two for one.
One Jedi Mind Trick special. That's this one. And one This Week in Geek special, which is really going to be this summer in Geek.
Yeah, recap the whole summer.
So, and before we get into...
There's some stuff going on.
The theology, the Jedi mind tricks, we've got some exciting stuff. October 29th, the Christ Hold Fast City event in Dallas.
Yeah.
And that is going to be held at our home church.
I'm excited.
Soul Thirst Church. And it's gonna be really good. The air conditioning works really good.
Oh yeah.
The sound system works really
good.
We've
got coffee.
The speakers are coming in. It's gonna be great. I mean, the lineup is great. Some of my favorites: Donovan, Riley, Chad Bird, the good old Texan Chad Bird. You got to come hear him. Preston Sprinkle, Daniel Price.
Yep.
There's more people.
And then you're singing, right?
I am. I'm
okay.
Yeah,
so stuff from the new album.
There may be some new album stuff on there.
Don't forget, y'all, you can download the new album. It's great. Bill Brimer? Is that your last name? Bill Brimer and the Skybirds, right?
That's right.
Bill Brimer and the Skybirds. BillBrimer.com.
Yeah, so the Brimer sort of rhymes with Skybirds. So
Brimer, a near rhyme. I'll accept it as an English teacher.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
cool
free
stuff
album
coming up
on my website, BillBrimer.com.
Yeah. Awesome.
And
which we link to on the website. So.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. So enjoy this episode, this special episode of Jedi Mind Tricks on the third use of the law.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
Jedi Mind Tricks, your favorite part of the show, except for maybe the other parts. We got a cool topic today. It's an important one to me because it's kind of changing my lens, if you will, of how I look at Christian behavior and Christian life, if that makes sense. So today we're going to talk about the third use of the law, which implies there's a first and second use of the law, which I think we'll hit on too. But we should probably start even further back, you were saying. Where do you think we should start with talking about this?
Well, I think we should start, honestly, with just really quickly. I think it's too important to just assume that our listeners are following even what we're talking about here.
Because I honestly, it's a newer concept for me in the past 5-6 years.
Like to me, it never gets old, and it's always important.
Okay.
When you're talking about something like this, to kind of back all the way up and go, let's talk about God's word for a minute.
Yep.
Just a quick review. I mean, and this will be a Cliff Notes version.
Zoom out for context.
But in order to understand the scriptures, in order to understand what it is that God is saying in his word, we need to understand that there's a distinction between God's law and God's gospel.
Right.
Okay. And the word gospel means good news.
Right.
And so in my Cliff Notes version here, what I would say to you is in God's word and in what he's revealed to us in his scriptures, okay, God's law, when we say God's law, we mean God's commands, okay? Or that a lot of times what it's talked about is the Ten Commandments, you
right.
know, thou shalt,
right.
you know. And essentially, there's two tables and all these other mm-hmm. things to God's commandments and all this. But essentially, you know, love God with your entire heart and love your neighbor as yourself is the way Jesus summarizes
yeah.
God's command. Now, God's commands, his law, distinctly different from the good news, his gospel, God's law is God's perfect will for his people. It is
beautiful.
It is a beautiful, wonderful description of his character.
Right.
Okay. And his kingdom.
Right.
All right. So God's law is a good thing.
Right.
Now, that's distinctly different from God's gospel when you're reading, and you don't want
to
confuse these two things,
right,
because
because
if you mix these two things together and you confuse them, you can't it's so important, actually, theologically, that it's been said about it that the Bible will remain a closed book to you if you can't make a distinction between law and gospel. The gospel, the good news, is the fulfillment of the law in
right.
Jesus Christ.
Right.
Okay, so it's the good news about who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's doing and what he will do
right.
For his people, because his people cannot do what the law demands,
not
what
even
the law describes,
of it.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're required to be righteous. We're by God's law. We're told about this righteousness. We're told about this beautiful character and will of God, okay, and this beautiful kingdom in God's law. This is what God's law does. It continually puts this reality in front of us in God's word. And God's gospel says to us, everything that the law describes is yours in Christ Jesus.
Right.
It's the good news of what has been accomplished on the cross.
It is finished.
And yeah. in the resurrection,
yeah.
and will fully be accomplished in the second coming. That is a very, very brief version of...
It's a good one.
Honestly, we should
talk about that every day
yeah.
in a lot of ways.
And so now it can kind of seem like we're getting down into the...
nitty gritty.
Yeah, the weeds, if
yeah.
you will. Is so when James used the term the third use of the law, what he's saying is he's specifically talking about God's law and how God uses that law
right.
in different ways.
Yeah, its purpose, if
and,
you will.
And,
yeah.
Well, not
so much purpose, use.
Well,
yeah.
a lot of the confusion about the third use of the law
uh-huh.
Comes from the term, from the word use.
Okay.
And so we'll come back
yeah,
to that.
Yeah, circle around to that.
But if you take God's law and uh-huh. its impact, it's how the Spirit uses it, okay? What would you say, you know, just a brief explanation of what we would call the first quote-unquote use of
yeah,
the law?
Yeah, sure. So from my understanding, it's kind of the curb use, if you will. So the first use of the law puts boundaries in place, keeps the ramifications of breaking the law from just completely getting out of check, I guess. So it curbs wickedness and evil behavior, et cetera. And that would be non-Christian and Christian alike, correct?
Yeah, I think it would... An easy way to kind of think about it, now this might be simplifying it too much and
okay.
narrowing it down too much, first use, would if you think of the establishment of a government.
Right, okay.
You know, to curb societal behavior,
yeah.
if
yeah.
you will.
Yeah.
So God's perfect word, God's commands being used in a civil sense.
Right, which would mean then that...
Like
as Christians, we're not going to be anarchists who say the law has been fulfilled. Now we don't have to have any laws.
Right. Well, but the first use is one of these things of going, you know, in a civil, just in the civil realm.
Okay.
What would you know, is it good that we have that murder's not? I mean, do we kind of all recognize that murder's not a good idea?
Yeah,
I mean, do we
probably
we
should have
we
some
don't
rules
really
about that.
Want people taking our stuff?
Right.
You know, so there are these. There's this sort of basic use.
Right.
I don't know. I don't. I don't mean to minimize the first use of law because it's a very powerful concept, but it is. The way that I think of it, which may be imperfect, much more of a civil idea,
okay.
like you use the word curb, it's to curb the world, the society, a sinful, broken, fallen world. It's hey, here is some boundaries that societies should operate under.
Yeah.
You know, and this is
and using the first use of the law doesn't save anybody.
Yeah, the law never saves anybody.
Right.
That never happens with the law.
Okay. So even if you fulfilled all your civil laws, you didn't break the law, civil laws, if you will, that doesn't change your status when it comes to righteousness.
And standing with God, it makes
standing
absolutely
with God,
no
exactly.
difference. Yeah,
okay.
Because you're completely disobedient.
Okay. But I don't think that's the use of the law that most people confuse. That seems to be the one that, okay, I can wrap
basic,
my head around
yeah,
that one.
I mean, it's probably, we have probably done a disservice in not really, in starting with the third use, you know, and not really doing an episode sort of solely on the first use.
Yeah, but we talked Two Kingdoms, which had a lot of first use stuff going on.
Yeah, and this is where we could conflate a lot of different theological things that and they are all interconnected.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good theology is based on other good theology.
Okay.
Right? You know, so not to say that we couldn't, but you could probably do an entire episode on the first use.
Yeah.
That's just not what we've set out to do today.
No.
Because it's not as difficult to understand. The first use of the law is not.
Okay.
The second use of the law, what would you say?
So I've heard that described as kind of the mirror use. It shows you that you are not righteous, that you are depraved, that you need a savior. It points you towards Christ in a way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people would say it's, you know, I think what would be important to, here's where you can make a mistake and carry this in too far into third use.
Okay.
Essentially, the second use of the law, again, I may not have a perfect understanding of it, so let me preface it with that. That's sort of my get out of jail free card. But
I teach my kids to write that in their essays so that if they're wrong.
Yeah. Well, so here's how I think I would encourage people to think about it.
Okay.
Because I think it helps us understand the third use better. The second use of the law, like you're saying, is a mirror. And the effect of that mirror is condemnation.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're hearing a condemning word from God.
Right.
Okay. And so you can hear first use, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear second use,
mm-hmm.
right? And you can never hear gospel.
Right.
Right. So when someone hears God's law, God's word preached to them, and they do not, even if the gospel is preached to them, they don't hear the gospel.
Right.
What are they going to hear?
This is
a person that's not. Now, this is no. Well, so what is the impact of it going to be?
Condemnation. Yeah.
Yes. So the impact without the gospel of God's law in the second use is condemnation.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is kind of what you were saying.
So what?
About
what
Sermon
happens?
On the Mount,
so,
even.
That being the case,
yeah.
What use of the law would you think would be heard, let's say, prior to me telling you the gospel? Let's just say, in a very basic sense, I told you how sinful you are and how you must be as righteous as the Father in order to inherit eternal life, and you're not, and therefore you are condemned under God's law, and I leave it there, right?
Right.
Okay, that all you're going to hear is condemnation.
Right.
if you have no faith, you have no understanding or nothing's been revealed to you by God, that can be a condemning word, the second use. Now, if I preach to you the gospel but Christ has covered all your sins.
Right.
Christ has taken all your sins on the cross and paid for them fully. Okay. Right. And now I'm preaching to you the gospel. This is why it's important to distinguish
between the two.
Right.
With the context of the gospel, it changes everything.
Yeah. Well, and so that second use is the use that you hear upon conversion. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's the killing and the gospel making you alive on that preaching. So,
right.
So this is actually huge. This is where a lot of people go way off the tracks in the wrong direction.
Mm-hmm.
The fundamental purpose of the preacher on a Sunday morning to a congregation of God's people, of course, you can't know who are God's people or not. The fundamental purpose of the preacher is not to preach you into hell and back out again. So the fundamental purpose is not second use.
Okay.
Okay. Because if you're preaching to God's people, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Okay. So the framing of your language in your preaching shouldn't be you're going to hell. You're condemned.
Right.
Okay. It's important to understand the words I'm using there. Condemnation. All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because Romans 8, there is
no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So that being the case, there's where you go, now let's talk about the third use of the law.
Right.
Because the third quote unquote use, and again, we've got to talk about that word and how we use it and how we misuse it.
Yeah.
We misuse the word use when we're talking about this. The third use of the law is the preaching of God's law to God's people.
Right.
Who have already heard and believed the gospel. Okay.
So the third use is not for people who have not heard the gospel.
That's correct.
And, yeah.
Second use.
That would be a total misuse. Second use is.
Well, okay. And let's talk about the word use.
Okay.
here's where, if you don't understand this.
Okay.
You can never understand anything that we're talking about. The word use. All right, let me give you an example, like a sentence that you, being a teacher, you should be able to deconstruct this pretty easily. If I say I am going to use the subway to get to downtown.
This is a subject object kind of thing.
It is a subject object verb kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So in that sentence, I'm going to use the subway.
Right.
What is the subject?
You.
I.
You are. You're the one using.
Okay. What is the object?
The subway.
Okay. So what is the word use? Use.
It's a verb.
It's a verb.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's what we got to understand.
Okay.
The term third use of the law.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is the one who uses God's law.
And we try to say it's us.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I
see
where you're going.
If I say I'm going to preach third use, first of all, buddy, the word of God is living and active. You have got a tiger by the tail. All right. The Spirit uses God's law. It's not mine to use.
Yeah.
It's God's law. God is the one who uses his law. God, the Spirit uses the law in the second use to condemn those who need to hear condemnation not in order that they be condemned, in order that they hear forgiveness of their sins, in order that they hear the gospel. In the third use, that's the Holy Spirit uses God's law in the third use, and in the third use of the law has two impacts on the hearer. The hearer of the third use of the law is what? Is a
object.
Christian.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they're the object. So the Spirit uses God's law to do something to the Christian. Okay?
Yeah.
So that is drastically different than that's a very narrow group, and it's a very narrow, if you will, singular It is God who does it and is doing it. Now, the preacher can and should frame his language in such a way that his congregation is not hearing condemnation from him. He doesn't need to, we're not to be, we don't go to church to be preached into hell and back out again.
Right.
But we need to hear God's law.
Right.
Preached in its fullness. And some
not
people,
lessened.
Right. Not lessened.
Because yeah. if you lessen it, then people think
but
I can
but understanding that. The impact yeah. of the third use, of the Spirit's use of the law,
okay.
the Spirit's use, third use of the law is important because the impact is twofold. All right. Because what does the law do? Just in its basic form. This is like
condemns. We talked about
well,
that.
Well, okay, so that would be someone who is outside of faith.
Oh, okay.
They hear what? They hear a description of their own unrighteousness.
Right.
But that's not the only thing that the law is describing, right?
No, it's describing righteousness.
It's describing righteousness.
Right.
Okay.
So it can be a guide, too.
Okay. So here's where we go, third use of the law. So the impact of God's law on the Christian believer is not singular, okay?
Right.
It is both one, instructive or corrective,
mm-hmm.
all right?
Mm-hmm.
And two, descriptive.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And that's the part we forget all the time.
It shows... It does, the third use does... God, the Holy Spirit uses his law to show the Christian their unrighteous behavior. Okay? But the difference is they are in Christ.
Right.
So the law doesn't condemn them.
Right.
But it does correct them.
It
right. does... And it does also remind them of what? Not just their doesn't just reveal their unrighteousness. It reminds them about
Christ's righteousness
and what the kingdom looks like.
Yeah.
What the character of their God
yeah.
looks like. And so we desperately need to hear God's law, not in a condemning way. As Christians, we don't need to be hearing God's law in a condemning way. So the preacher is in error if he's preaching God's law to the Christian in a condemning way.
Right.
The hearer is in error if they're in Christ and they're hearing it in a condemning way.
Right.
Okay. And both of both of these errors happen. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't control how someone hears the sermon, and you can't necessarily control how you hear the sermon, but we can, as preachers, frame our language in such a way that people don't hear condemnation from God's law, but they do hear correction. They do hear instruction, okay? And they do hear description, okay? And one of the ways you can do it is the way I'm doing it right now, is talking about
describing,
it and teaching
talking,
it
yeah.
and saying, hey, I don't want you to hear this as a condemning word. This needs to be to you who are in Christ a reminder of who you already are in him.
Yeah.
Okay, so your unrighteousness is revealed. You are called out on your sin, okay? But you're also, if that's not the end of it, right? You're also reminded of what righteousness looks like,
right.
okay? And all of these things can be done, and the Holy Spirit does do these things with the third use of the law. The way God uses the law, obviously, he's God. He uses it properly for the Christian to hear both of those things in a new lens, a gospel lens,
yeah.
a new identity lens. See, that's the importance of preaching the gospel. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that your hearer is not hearing or forgetting the gospel, the good news. We need to be reminded of what righteousness looks like, and the law does that, but we need to be reminded that it's a righteousness that we already have in Christ, and the gospel
right.
does that.
Otherwise,
so
we'll...
we're still making a distinction.
Okay.
But it is a very it's a widely misunderstood
yeah.
Concept, right?
Yeah.
It's a widely misunderstood teaching, I believe, because people start with the wrong subject.
I'm going to use
yeah,
the law.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to misuse the law.
I'm
going to
preach the third use of the law. Well, I hate to say it, but you're a chimpanzee with a machine gun. But a tiger by the tail is probably better because the tiger's alive.
Yeah.
See? And the word of God is alive.
Yeah.
The word of God is living and active. See? When you preach God's word, you can't control God's word or what, and nor should you try.
Right.
It's trust that when it's preached. But as a preacher, that's not to say you can't rightly frame your language, that you can't if you rightly understand what it is the goal of the preaching is, you can much more frame your language in a way that the hearer who is a Christian doesn't hear condemnation, and the hearer who is not a Christian hears that law, and yes, they are called out by it, but they want so badly what you're describing that they want their thirst is increased for the gospel. See,
yeah.
So I'd say
that's what's been going on with me over the past few years is kind of a hearing those things in that context, the lens being changed. Changes everything.
Right. Well,
the gospel lens is so important.
And we've talked about the distinction between God's law and God's gospel, and one of the major mistakes made in this is that they're turned into opposites.
Right, and they're not.
And they're not.
No.
Because there is no fulfillment of God's, I mean, the gospel is the fulfillment of God's law in Christ.
Right.
So it can't be the opposite of the law. It's
the fulfillment.
It's the answer.
Yeah.
You know,
it's the answer to it.
So, does that help?
That helps a ton. Especially as an English teacher, the whole breaking it down into a sentence. And that'll help me frame my language on talking about it, which.
This is one of those subjects that we said beforehand, we told each other, you know, we may have to break this into two parts.
Yeah, we might.
Because I think the other major error, you know, so now that we've kind of described some of the impacts of it, the other major error then becomes, which a lot of very admirable Lutherans are very cautious about, with good reason.
Mm-hmm.
The other major error then becomes... well, if I preach the law, then now since they're Christians, they just need to hear instruction and law.
That's all they need now.
And because this will fix things. Well, the law will never deliver what it demands.
Right.
You can make a distinction between God's law and God's gospel and preach them both.
Right.
And you should be preaching them both.
Right.
You should be hearing them both at your church. You shouldn't just be hearing. The law shows you your sin and the gospel forgives it. That sort of SOS, you know, minimization of the law shows our sin and the gospel shows our Savior. That's such a narrow misunderstanding of the fullness of it.
Right.
I mean, you don't, you know, Jesus wasn't just atoning for sin.
No.
And that's it.
Right.
You know, because he's a king. You know, he is the unique Son of God who's come to save his people from their sins. All right. He's come to fulfill all righteousness. Right. He's come to defeat Satan, and he's come to usher in a kingdom, a reign of God, a new reality. Okay. Yeah. It is absolutely about the forgiveness of sins, but it's not only about the forgiveness of sins.
Yeah, and we leave it at that so often.
Right.
And missing the big picture, missing so much.
Well, here's the interesting thing. When I say we preach Christ crucified, what do you typically immediately think about?
Christ being
the
crucified.
The law or the gospel?
Oh, law, actually. Or gospel. I'm thinking both right now, actually.
Well, that's good because I can't
separate the two anymore.
Well, okay.
Separate, but at the same time.
Well, distinguish.
Distinguish. Yeah.
They're not opposites, so divide is not really the best word.
Right.
I mean, distinguish is the best word.
Yeah. Okay.
Because God's word is not. It's one word, and it's Christ. You know, he became flesh. He's not. When I hear people say Jesus himself is the gospel, Well, if you mean that he's the fulfillment of the law, that's right. But if you just mean he's forgiveness of sins, that's a minimization.
You don't want to
make the gospel simply about the forgiveness of sins. It is absolutely about the forgiveness of sins. It's just way too narrow to describe the gospel that way, because the law doesn't simply reveal your sin. See, if you think the law simply reveals your sin, you will think the gospel simply forgives your sin.
Right. But there's more to the law than that, and that's why when
you say we preach Christ crucified, Paul's not just talking about the fullness of the gospel. He's talking about the fullness of the law. God's command, God's will for his people is so important to him that he gave his son on a cross, right?
And he didn't come to just erase the law fulfill.
And that's the Sermon on the Mount.
Exactly.
I did not come to do away with the law. Not one iota.
And that's so funny.
Not one mark.
That's the Sermon on the Mount.
I came to fulfill it.
Fulfill. And then we forget that all the time.
And so we've talked about this before, but this is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important for the Christian to hear.
Yeah.
Because I've heard good theologians make this error. Like theologians that I really admire.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard them say and repeat of other people saying that the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount is to drive you to despair.
And it's not.
It's absolutely not the purpose of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus begins with and ends with beautiful gospel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's been established of who he is, the unique Son of God, who's come to save his people from their sins, to fulfill all righteousness, to defeat Satan. And it says right before the Sermon on the Mount, it says, and Jesus began preaching that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, the reign of God. He's ushering in a new kingdom, and he stands on the mountain and he says, blessed, right? And he says, I didn't come to do away with the law, I came to fulfill it, right? He's saying, here I am, the fulfillment of law for you. Now, let me talk about the fullness of the righteousness that the law describes.
Here's everything I'm fulfilling.
Yeah. So, here's everything that I'm fulfilling. Here's what my kingdom's like. There's no murder in my kingdom. There's no theft in my kingdom.
Blessed
there's no adultery in my kingdom. There's only love in my kingdom.
Yeah.
There's no murder in my heart. See? So he's not just saying, he's not simply saying, you shall not have, lust in your heart. You shall not have anger towards your brother in your heart, or you're a murderer. You shall not have lust, or you're an adulterer. Those are absolutely impacts of the law on people. They hear condemnation in it, right?
Right.
Christian should not hear that. The Christian should hear, this is who my king is.
Wow, he did this.
This is who my king is. This is what his kingdom is like.
Yeah.
And therefore, that's why Paul, there's so many therefores in the middle of Paul's epistles.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, this is the life I'm called to live out. Now, here's where a lot of errors come in.
Okay.
Is that then language is framed to the hearer as if they have the ability to fulfill that law apart from Christ.
Right.
It's given to people as a list.
Right.
Right. It's given to people as a, Jesus has done this for you, therefore now you do this for him.
Well, and
no,
I've even,
you know, the there is no you for him.
Right.
It's him for
it's
you.
It's him for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've heard it described, I think wrongly, as, before you were saved, you couldn't live a righteous life. Now that you are saved, you can live a righteous life.
He who lives in you has already given you all the imputed righteousness. He's imputed to you his righteousness.
Right.
So you're there, and there now you're getting into, and which is important, because this goes back to how all good theology comes from good theology. The two kinds of righteousness, right? Your relationship with God, this vertical thing with you and God, it's finished. It's over.
Yeah.
You're fully righteous.
Right.
There's no more requirement of the law of you from God, because when he sees you, he sees Christ. But you live on a horizontal plane with other people. So you can't just go around killing and doing all these other things, because that destroys other people's lives, and it could destroy your own, right?
Right.
And this is not who you are now in him.
Right.
See, so this is the reminder of what the law is. The law is not, is never going to deliver what it demands of you, but it doesn't mean that you don't, that it doesn't need to be demanded of you. See,
right.
It's not going to deliver
it still
it
to
has
you. To be
that's
demanded
the,
of
that,
you.
That is the function and the job of the good news. That's the yeah. gospel is that healing balm that, hey, reminder of the, that it's been fulfilled for you, but you still have to hear what righteousness is like, because again, and we're going back, but we need to go back. It's describing the character of your king.
Mm-hmm.
You should want to hear a description of mm-hmm. the character of your king.
Mm-hmm.
He's love. He's peace. He's all of these things, okay? And the law describes his character. And therefore, now that you're in Christ, you can truly say, I love your law, God.
Yeah.
Because Christ loves the law.
Yeah.
He loves the law. Jesus, nobody preaches the law in depth like Jesus does. He loves the law. Why does he love the law?
He knows it.
Because because God's law is God's perfect will for yeah. his people. And Jesus knows that. And he, and so...
So why would he... He wouldn't do away with it then.
Well, so we hear... We can, unfortunately, even from really good, well-respected theologians, hear law talked about in a negative way.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard it framed a lot of times too, where Old Testament's all law, New Testament's all gospel.
Yeah, which is that's like a day one error.
And we don't need to, Old Testament's there then for ethical training,
right.
Moral training.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of moral stories.
Right,
yeah.
And but the New Testament, that's where really we need to spend our time. We'll just print that part of the Bible or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's also a misunderstanding of law and gospel and of the different uses.
Law and gospel aren't opposites, and the Old and the New Testament
yeah.
aren't opposites.
Cool.
They're both about Christ.
Yeah.
And so the Old Testament is about Christ.
That's the right
New
lens.
Testament is about Christ. The law is about Christ.
Christ.
All right. It describes
it's his description.
Christ.
Yeah. yeah. I love this. This is great.
And it describes his kingdom. It describes what his kingdom is like.
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful, wonderful, amazing thing that we should want to hear.
Yeah.
Even as saints who still sin.
Yeah.
The Spirit creates in us the desire to hear God's law, because God's law is a good thing.
Yeah.
And we need to hear good things.
Right.
We also need desperately to hear good news, the gospel. We need to, the Spirit uses both the law and the gospel, in different, and they have different impacts. They have different, they give us different things,
right.
But both are things that we need. Hopefully that makes sense. And we've geeked out now in a two-part episode, I think, on the third use of the law. But hey, this doesn't need to be the end of the subject, because it's something that the more we can talk about together, the more we can get people to hear and
yeah.
get people to talk about themselves. And so... Man, anybody that has these kinds of questions or these kinds of concerns, point them towards
them
the podcast if it's been helpful to you. If it hasn't been helpful to you, then go listen to someone else.
All right, cool.